Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree, and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology. I want to say hello to all our street talkers this morning, hoping you're taking your sound theology and bringing it to the streets. Pastor Grimaldi at Gmail. Give me a shout out. We are in the midst of a discussion with my two brothers from India, Pastor Michael Teddy, Ashok Mohan from Redemption Hill Church in southern India. Let me give you the framework. I use that word from Buddha. You see what I use? Let me give you the framework, right? You see how that stuff rubs off. But anyway, we started speaking about what almost is like critical race theory in India, which comes under the heading of a chase. And then the American solution, which is really no solution at all, critical race theory. But then Ashok started speaking about intersectionality, where depending on who you are and what you are conformed to or whatever that is, you would be lower or higher on this pole, so to speak. And then I think what you said, Ashok, that there's white privilege. So the white man would be the top of the rung, so and everything under that would be intersection.
The white straight man.
The white straight man. Okay, so that's top dog, so to speak, in this. Okay. So with that being said, so I want to get to the difference between social justice and biblical justice. But before I get there, I think we need to explain, Pastor Michael, what's white privilege.
So with you reiterating what Ashok was saying, we can already see how critical race theory makes us think like racists. Because in order to identify what they call white privilege, or in order to identify black oppression or any other kind of oppression, you have to divide people up into groups on the basis of their color, their ethnicity, their national, the nation they come from, everything. You begin to group people into different structures, which is simply what racism is. See, the root of our faith is Galatians 3:28, that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek. The place where we as Christians stand is to hold hands and say, white man, brown man, black man, we hold hands, we stand together, we rejoice in Jesus, you are my brother in Christ. Now, critical race theory begins with the opposite assumption. Its entire foundation is on the basis of dividing people up as racists do on the basis of the color of their skin.
Something came to me. I'm sorry. So something came to me. And you correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Michael, please.
Yes.
So remember, even when the gospel started moving in the book of Acts, it just came to my mind. Remember the Pharisees that turned Christian were telling the Gentiles that they had to be circumcised, that they had to be sometimes. And I'm just thinking about that. And is that far removed from what you're saying?
Yeah, no, you can probably make the relation to that. Yeah, there were groupings, and when they had a difficulty going out to the Gentiles, so to speak, right? Paul had to be the apostles to the Gentiles who had to stand up to Peter, that's a relation that you could make. Yeah,
and again, Peter would have had Jewish privilege, right? I mean, Ashok, we get ourselves in trouble here.
but the point there is, look at it's again Paul's method, right? What is Paul calling for? Paul is calling for that we are, you know, as he wrote in Galatians 3:28, we are one in Christ.
Amen.
You know, and when he talks to the great Gentile, he talks about that the fact that salvation comes from the Jews. When he talks to the Jews, he talks about why Jesus died for all people. And the gospel centers on the fact that we are all created equally. We are all equal before God. Now, the point is, critical race theory, because they want to push systemic racism as being a real thing that's everywhere, they come up with this thing called white privilege. And white privilege basically says that the white man, because of centuries of privilege that a white man has had, because they would look at history and say throughout history for a major part, black people were oppressed, they were slaves because of the whole slave trade and all of those kind of things. And you've just got so much ease for the black, for the white man today in today's society to do the things he does. But for the black man to come from under the hoods, it's just so much more difficult. And all of that they attribute to systemic racism. And so what they say is, just because of your skin color, just because you're white, you're privileged. So the it doesn't matter, your background doesn't matter, your upbringing doesn't matter, your financial situation doesn't matter, your faith doesn't matter. Just because you're white would mean that you have the sin of white privilege, which is what Christians who use this so-called solution framework are arriving at. And what you have today is, because of that, you've got white pastors whom I would respect for the larger part, for they preach the gospel, but white pastors that I look up to who are coming up and apologizing for being white.
Yeah, this is happening, and that was my question I wanted to talk to Ashok about. So why, what is it, why do they have to turn around and say that I'm the problem? The problem is, for any of this stuff, for me, I'm not just looking at a gospel, the problem is sin. I mean, we're making sin just really infiltrate the church. When you got somebody saying, this is my fault, and churches are being split over this, Ashok.
Yeah. Pastor, isn't it kind of ironic that when we say that people are born with sin and inherently they are sinful, there are people who would rage against it and say, how can God do that? Isn't that unfair that we be born with sin, that we inherit something? And these same people have no issue saying that racism is inherited when it comes to God. So, what you see there is, here's the thing. We are not saying that there is no racism on this planet, or that white people do not enjoy any privileges at any capacity anywhere. You do see these things happening, and it's a solution that we are talking about. Say if we have racism or any sort of casteism or tribalism happening in our church, the last thing that we will go to is critical race theory and all the false presuppositions that it makes. And instead, we will go to the scripture. How do we deal with it scripturally? In fact, we see the circumcision party requiring circumcision of Gentile proselyte converts and the Messianic Jews. And you see how angry Paul is at them. Paul is lashing out. In the same letter to the Galatians where he wrote, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is gentleness, he calls them, he asks them to go castrate themselves, the circumcision party.
Yes, right.
So that's how enraged he is with that. Yeah, so it all starts with these false assumptions, and the reason is simple. We are sinful people and we gravitate towards sin, and we do not want to give the word of God the due respect and authority that is due unto it.
Pastor Michael, I'm coming to you right now. This is really, I'm sorry, this is splitting the church. It really, really is. And I don't know, I know the Chase function is where you guys are at, but this is really splitting the American church. It just is. And I hate to use that word, American church, but.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the reason is because CRT is a bad solution. It's the wrong framework. The right framework is the Bible. See, the problem here is I see two things. Two things stand out to me. Number one, the Bible never says privilege is bad. When did privilege ever become a bad thing? You know, I am privileged in ways in my own society, in my own culture, in ways that many people around me are not privileged. But as a Christian, my privilege becomes the instrument or the tool that I use to further the gospel and touch people's lives, right? And so, you know, imagine people come up to me and say, you're privileged because you were in this family. And I'd be, thank God that I'm privileged to be in the family that I am in, to have the resources that I have, to do the things that I can do. And God ordains that, right? God blesses the rich man. God blesses the poor man. He raises men to be rich throughout history who have done great things for the glory of his name. And he also uses poor men. And both of them are equal before God. So if you want to attribute to all of this and say the white man is privileged, look at what Christian white men have accomplished through the centuries. You know, I think of myself as a man who is in the faith and where I am today because of white men. You know, and I think it's from white men who have had many privileges in their lives. And I thank God for the privileges God gave him or them. Now, the point that I'm trying to make is privilege in and of itself is not bad. It's not evil. It is not inequality. And privilege is the instrument that they can use for the good. And not everybody does that. I understand that. But the second issue that I have is specifically, again, when they apply the critical race theory as a framework, you know, even in the Southern Baptist Convention, they were talking about using it as an analytical tool. It's a tool that gives you bad analysis. It's a framework that makes you go down the wrong line. It's the wrong statistic. It's the wrong tool. It's not going to give you the result you want. I can't understand why people can't see that. It is a bad tool. The gospel is the right tool. If I want to teach my church about fighting casteism, and if I want to teach my church about fighting racism, I'm going to teach them to love one another. I'm going to teach them to treat one another with respect. I'm going to teach them to love people who might come to the church who belong to a different caste or whatever. And I'm going to teach that to them from the Bible, that in Christ we are neither Jew nor Greek, and that we are able to fellowship. I don't need CRT as an analytical tool to tell them, because I'll probably end with this, but CRT tells you, divide people into these social groups on the basis of their color or whatever else, and then blame this group over here for their privilege and care for this group over here because they are being systemically oppressed. The Bible tells you, forget that entire analysis. That entire analytical framework is dismantled in Galatians 3:28. Bible begins by dismantling this division, whereas CRT begins by putting this framework of division in place. So it doesn't solve racism, it creates racism.
It's so far against the scripture. I mean, Galatians 3:20, it's just that you don't see any, if anything, you see, like you said, Paul rebuking Peter. Any type of privilege is not shown at all. Now, I want to make Michael's point, and Ashoka, I want you to hear this. Now, Michael made a really interesting point that maybe people might be saying, well, what do you mean about privilege? Let me tell you, I'm going to back what Pastor Michael said up in the Bible. Do you remember when Paul, when they wanted to beat him down, he said, oh, I'm a Roman citizen. Privilege. I'm a Roman citizen. I got some privilege here. And what did Paul, and when he's saying that, the Lord came to him and says, Paul, don't worry. I gave you that privilege and you're going to bring the gospel to Rome. So I really appreciate what Pastor Michael Teddy said. And if people are listening and saying, well, you know what? Paul had privilege, and God used that privilege to preach and the gospel and brought it to Rome. So I, when Pastor Michael was saying that, I said to myself, man, that's really profound. Paul didn't say, hey, I'm better than you. Paul says, hey, listen, you want to beat me down? You better realize that I'm a Roman citizen. I got some privilege, right?
Yeah.
But God used that privilege for his glory. So that, I think, Ashok, that was really well said by Pastor Michael. I mean, that was really, and he's got some guts in there to say that. But when he was saying it, I said to myself, he's onto something. I'm sorry. I appreciate that, Pastor Michael. Thank you.
And I think I'll take it a notch further than Mike said and say that God expects your children to be born with privilege. And that's the whole idea of covenant blessings.
Amen.
So you see children being born into Israel, unlike the children being born into the rest of the nations, they are born into the covenant, the covenant symbol. They get circumcised, which is graced, imparted unto them. And similarly, it goes even into the New Testament. You see Timothy is being blessed because of the faith of his grandmother and his mother. And 1 Corinthians 7:14, you see that the children of believers, if either of the spouses, godly, then the child is set apart. Now that is privilege. And God wants, and we see in Malachi 3:6 that God expects believers to be married. And one of the main reasons why God wants them to be married is that there are children with privilege who are born, children who are of godly offsprings. So this is, in fact, in a sense, part of God's plan. A kind of privilege. Now, this is definitely not the evil tyrannical privileges that we are talking about, or people misusing their privileges in evil tyrannical ways. But specifically, there's a kind of privilege that God expects the generations to have, expect the people to have. And see, for the Gentiles, all of us are believers today because the gospel went out of Israel. We are all privileged in that sense. Right. If any of us are believers, and this was part of God's plan, and when in John, when he hears in Revelation, when he hears that there are 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin and so forth, and he expects and he turns back to see 144,000 people, but what he sees people from every tribe, every tongue, and you know, beyond his eyes can see, that is privilege.
That's you see that a lot in the book of Revelation. You see that hearing and seeing motif. John hears and then he sees, which I would, anyway, that's a theological thing, but yeah, so this is what we have to do. Now we wanted to switch here. We probably have about 8 minutes to this segment, maybe seven. I think we want to get to social justice and biblical justice, right? We've already kind of discussed it. You know, how do you view critical race theory in light of Scripture? There's no way to view critical race theory in light of Scripture, right? I think you said that. So what I want to ask you guys to do for the last 6 minutes of this show, give us an introduction to what we're going to be talking about, social justice and biblical justice. Is that the next rung here? Is there another rung? Do we have to, can we go right to social justice over against biblical justice? Do we need, Pastor Michael, do we need to make another step, or can we go right into that?
I think we can go right into that.
Michael, can you introduce us to these terms? And then on the other side, I'll let you and Ashok kind of flush them out, and we can close the show with that. And what I do want to close the show with is actually the real gospel. So anyway.
Yeah. So I want to, you know, our listeners to understand, when you hear just that social justice versus biblical justice, how that actually sounds very absurd, because we're talking about justice, whether it is in society or in any other form. We as Christians are called to be a people of justice, you know, a just people. Our God is just. But imagine, we're sitting here and talking about a kind of justice that is different from biblical justice, a social justice. And I think the definition of terms becomes very important here. So I'm assuming that, you know, the social justice specifically talks about achieving justice for minorities or justice for groups that are social in nature. So, for example, Black Lives Matter would be a social justice movement. It is meant, it is positioned in hopes that they can bring justice to oppressed black communities. And they have a certain framework they want to apply. And we are trying to bring this word biblical justice to say that, wait, there is a way of approaching justice that's biblical. So again, I think the key distinction is the framework they use. For we have scripture, words breathed out by God that inform us about the nature and character of God and what he intends to do in life, in this world, through redemptive history. And the Bible is the only source of all Christian faith and practice. Whereas social justice would employ many other tools, many other frameworks, most of which, like critical race theory, have their roots in Marxism, have their roots in evil, in sin, which is aimed at dismantling everything that the gospel is building. And the problem is, that's why these kind of terms pit against each other. What I would want our listeners to understand is, it is not social justice versus biblical justice. It's actually social injustice versus biblical justice.
Great point.
Because what these people end up doing in the name of justice is injustice. So we were talking about white privilege just a point back, moment back. Let me put it with that. What is the solution of social justice? What is the social injustice? What is the solution of critical race theory to white privilege? Okay. They say, if you're a white man and you're straight, you're up the ladder and you're white privilege and you need to repent of it. What if you repent of it? What next?
That's a great point. Listen, we got like a minute. We're gonna come right back. And that's right. I mean, if you repent, that's pretty good, Ashok, right? I mean, if you repent of your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. Why do you gotta keep? No, that's a great point. All right. Ashok, hold that door. This is great stuff. My name is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi on Street Talk Theology, where we bring our sound theology and we take it to the street. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.